rising star in the provincial government.
Wow.
But his weight is rising as well, as he does not eat any healthy food anymore. Please welcome the newly anointed Minister of Economic Development, Job Creation and Trade, Todd Smith. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I will never call you the Honorable.
Thank you.
Because we've known each other for 25 years, and I know that's not true. It doesn't matter what the Constitution says.
That's right.
Smitty, congratulations.
Thank you.
It was not long ago where you sat in opposition as the energy critic.
Yep.
And now, less than half a year later, we are living under the auspices of a Doug Ford government, a conservative majority, and we've already had a cabinet shuffle. You guys have only been in power for, what, 4 months?
Yeah, just over 4 months.
So what led to that? Unfortunately, I think there was a high cabinet minister who had to leave for personal reasons. And then, but why not just replace him? Why have a whole shuffle?
Yeah, I think over the first 4 months, it was clear that there were some people that were suited for certain positions, maybe that they weren't in. And we've got a great team there in cabinet, a lot of really, really qualified people. And some were maybe in positions that they weren't best suited for, and it became clear to the premier and the chief of staff and the team that that they needed to move some people around. So, you know, along with me moving to economic development, job creation and growth, which is actually one of the portfolios that I really, really would have liked to have been in, because I did serve as critic for that when I was first elected back in 2011 for a couple of years. So I'm excited about that. But John Jakubowski has moved from transportation to natural resources and forestry. I mean, he comes from Renfrew, Pembroke area, the Ottawa Valley, and he knows those issues extremely well. Jeff Urich has moved from that file over to transportation, and he's going to do fantastic. He comes from the London area. And then the other one was Michael Tobolo, and switching with Sylvia Jones. Michael Tobolo has been involved in cultural communities, not in politics, for a long, long time. He's been a very unifying force as a private citizen in that area. So he's moved to that file. And Sylvia Jones has been around a long time as an MPP and a staffer, and she's very well suited to take over the complex community safety and correctional services file. And then I was really excited that my good buddy Bill Walker was promoted into my old position yesterday of government and community services. So,
are you sad you're services. Not in charge of escalators and elevators anymore?
I was just joking with David as we were coming up the elevator that I'm no longer responsible for elevators and escalators. So, you know, it was kind of an up and down job anyway, Lauren.
Okay. Let's. You've been in this job for like less than 24 hours, so I'm not going to quiz you, but I will ask you what the jobs entail and what you think might be an important aspect of it. So I'm not going to ask you what, you know, any serious stuff, because you don't know yet. You were in meetings all day yesterday. So economic development, that's kind of straightforward. You know, we saw Doug Ford's comment that the new signs will say open for business. So that's what you're trying to do. Economic development is to try to develop our economy, not to be too simple, but figure out ways to make Ontario as profitable business-wise as it can be.
Yeah, making Ontario open for business is our mantra. That's our theme as a government. So it's a very, very important file. It encompasses a lot. And you've already seen in the first 4 months that we've taken steps to make sure that Ontario is open for business, including putting up those signs. But lowering gasoline prices by eliminating the cap and trade bill, which was passed last week by our environment minister, Rod Phillips. So that's one check done. We've taken some steps to lower electricity rates, which were a big barrier for businesses growing and locating here in Ontario because of the soaring cost of electricity. So Greg Rickford, our minister there, has made some big, big changes in the way we deliver electricity. And there's more to come on that file because of the mess that was made. And then, you know, making Ontario open for business. One of the big things that I'm going to be working on, along with my staff and my new Deputy Minister Giles Kearson, is reducing red tape for business. When you meet with business owners, and we've talked about it before, there's so much duplicity with federal and municipal and provincial guidelines and regulations. And we need to streamline that so that business can easily get down to business and not have to worry so much about paperwork.
Okay, but
and red
people,
tape.
You know, there's a the, and I agree. I think getting rid of red tape when it's unnecessary is wonderful. But a lot of things scare people because of what's happening south of the border. So getting rid of things that are really going to affect the environment, for example, just to say, hey, we're going to make business better. Sometimes you need to struggle with business a little bit to protect the planet. And you know me, I'm not an environmentalist. It's just getting rid of the EPA is a really stupid idea down south. Are you guys monitoring that to make sure you make life easier for businesses, but you're not going to make things worse for the province and everything else, the people that live in?
Certainly there's a balance that exists. And I've got two parliamentary assistants now on that file, Donna Skelly and Michael Parsa, who've been out meeting with businesses all across Ontario, holding roundtables and really finding out where that duplication exists. So, I mean, that's the whole thing, Lauren, is that, you know, if the feds have a regulation that a business or a manufacturing facility has to follow, and then the province has another one, and then conservation or municipalities have another one, you know, this is creating a barrier to doing business here. We want to streamline the whole process. So, you know, first of all, businesses can get the permitting that they need much more quickly than they've been able to. So we want to streamline that so that businesses can come in here and get everything they need in a year. It's been taking 3-4 years sometimes to get through all the environmental. Yeah. You know, we have to have those checks and balances, absolutely. And we want to make sure that that's great about Canada and everything that's great about Ontario still remains in place, but we have to be competitive with those other jurisdictions.
Otherwise, they're not going to come here. 4 or 5 years. I mean, just ask Bob Doyle to open a McDonald's because of the way you come in and out of the thing.
In Madoc, you're talking about.
Yeah, in Madoc. Yeah. I mean, that was just a crazy story.
Yes.
So you got to figure out how to make that happen. Because that's been a very successful business for the people of Madoc and for everybody involved.
And interestingly enough, you know, when I had the chance to talk to my colleagues, I told the story of meeting Nikki Haley. And Nikki at the time was the governor of South Carolina.
Yeah.
She was speaking at the Economic Club in Toronto about 5 years ago or so before she was appointed to the United Nations.
And before she drank the evil Kool-Aid.
Right, exactly. Right. But she was the governor of South Carolina. And I remember when she was giving her speech that day, she opened up by saying, "Folks, I know I'm here in Toronto, in Ontario, and in Canada, but whatever the Ontario government is doing, please keep it up, because the businesses that are locating in South Carolina are saying we've had enough of dealing with the Ontario government." That's how she opened up her conversation. And she said, so, you know, we are a welcoming state. We are inviting all of these companies in Ontario to come locate in beautiful South Carolina. And we had one person, I remember this from when I was critic. We had an individual who I was meeting, I believe in the greenhouse sector, and said, you know, going from Ontario to Ohio was like leaving a torture chamber and going to a candy store. I mean, that's how welcoming that these other jurisdictions have been. And there really needs to be a cultural change here in Ontario. And Nikki Haley talked about that day. She said, when people phone, you know, the state capitol, the people on the other end of the phone say, "It's a beautiful day in South Carolina. How can we make your day better?" Right? Whereas Ontario seems to be this adversarial kind of, we're inspectors, we're coming in, we're going to shut you down, we are determined to find something wrong with your business today.
So
and
you're saying
there's that kind of an attitude.
The puritanical attitude here in the province of Ontario that makes you fence in a beer
garden.
The
nanny state. Yeah, the nanny
goes
state.
All the way to the person you're going to call to try to get a permit for something provincially?
Yeah, so it needs to run better, right? I mean, there needs to be a culture change. And I know that the premier is definitely committed to providing that culture change, and instead of, you know, always looking to penalize business, helping them comply is what we want to try and
as long as
change.
They fit in with the law.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's what I mean, comply, right?
Okay.
Comply with the law.
So let's talk about trade. So today is the midterm elections.
Mm-hmm.
One of the big things that has happened over the past 2 years has been very scary trade issues with America and America dealing with the rest of the world, but also Canada, whether it comes to dairy or lumber or steel. Obviously, Ontario is a big steel producing province. Your I'm sure mandate is going to have to deal with. I mean, to me, that's going to be your biggest issue is trade. Yep. Just your thoughts on it, because again, there's no point. I'm not asking you about it. Yep, I'm asking your thoughts because you've only been doing this for like 10 hours. So
yeah, that's right. So, I mean, I was handed a couple of big binders shortly after being sworn in yesterday morning, and did have a brief conversation with one of my deputy ministers yesterday, and of course my new political staff that I'm inheriting, and we did talk about how significant the trade file obviously is, not just internationally but interprovincially as well, breaking down those barriers that exist Canada, right? So and you know, the folks down in Prince Edward County can tell you about that. I mean, particularly in the wine industry, you know, trying to have
buy a world-class beer from Saskatchewan here, but we can buy a whole bunch of beers from New England.
So there's
how crazy is that?
Right. So you know, working to ensure that we have allies in other provinces that understand the importance of free trade is significant, and that goes for our friends south of the border as well, you know, elsewhere in the world. On Thursday, I'm scheduled to go speak to a number of Chinese businesses about the importance of doing business with Ontario and making sure that they know that Ontario is open for business and that we have to have that collaboration with China. And you know, I'm going to be a busy guy over the next couple of weeks and months and hopefully years, making sure that we have those great, you know, trade treaties or collaborations.
Has it been difficult, Todd? When you were a backbencher on the opposition, nobody paid attention.
Yeah.
And then you became a critic and
everything. Well, you did, Lauren. You paid attention.
Well, that's right. Thank you. When you were a critic, you got a little notoriety when the file came up in the news.
Energy,
Because they would talk to the Minister of Energy and then they'd speak to the critic.
Yeah, energy was huge, right?
But now you're the focus, right? And there's a lot of attention. And when you say something, people are going to... Has it really been an education? Is there a learning curve here? Obviously, you've been media savvy because you worked in this business for so long. But now, if you say something stupid, it can resonate and make a difference on the outcome of something really important.
Yeah, I mean...
And you are prone to say stupid things.
Absolutely. I've been hanging out with you for 25 years. You've rubbed off on me.
Well, if it's easy.
No, but it is important, certainly, to be well-prepared, to be well-educated on the different topics. So, you know, I've been fortunate that I've had great staff. Even in opposition, I had great staff. And now with the government, in government and consumer services, I had great staff there that I had assembled a really, really strong team. And there's a very, very strong team already at economic development, job creation and trade in place. And I'll be working closely with those folks. I mean, that's why I'm keeping it at a pretty high level here today, because, you know, there are implications to everything that's said by the minister.
I'm certainly not going to ask you questions that you don't know anything about at this point. But the good thing is that you are always available to us, and when things happen, we'll be able to talk to you and get the news, which is really good, for sure. You get a driver now. What's his name?
Justin is his name, and he is Sean Kelly's identical twin.
Really?
Yeah, pretty much.
And what kind of car do they?
It was interesting.
What kind of car do they?
It's a Toyota Highlander hybrid.
Oh, cool.
So it's nice. But it was funny because Justin and David Joyce and I were out on election night municipally, and Justin was constantly being congratulated for being elected to Belleville Council. It was hilarious.
So does your driver bring you back home?
Sometimes. I drove myself last night.
Oh, that's like, very nice of
I'd
you.
Like to
Thank
have,
you.
I'd like to have some control.
Oh, my God. Listen.
Especially when it comes to driving.
Is anybody going to make your head smaller? We're going to make sure that happens here on 800 CJBQ.
My head's pretty large, Lauren. Yeah. It's pretty large. The big debate is...
Oh, my
is,
God. I'm looking at a picture of Justin right now. He does look like Sean Kelly.
Oh, yeah. He's about 30 years younger, but...
That means Sean's looking pretty good then.
It does, yeah. Sean's
okay, I want to ask you a few questions before you leave about what's going on just in the world of the province of Ontario. During this conversation, you mentioned cap and trade. We know that the Conservatives under Doug Ford refused and eliminated cap and trade, so the federal government is going to impose it. This is going to be, so there's, I think, four provinces now, right, out of the 10 that are going to have to get into the federal system. But at the end of the day, this is going to raise the price of goods and services Big time.
And that's why we got rid of it, right? That's why we wanted to eliminate the carbon tax in Ontario. There are so many jurisdictions that we're trying to do business and trade with that don't have these kinds of programs in place. So it makes it extremely difficult to be competitive when you have a carbon tax in place and your counterparts elsewhere in the world don't. And I think that's why we're starting to see sort of a rebel force, if you want to call it that, forming across the country when it comes to the various provincial governments.
But the point is, that's true.
Well, you're trying to apply pressure and
the point's moot.
And so, well, is it? I mean,
it's moot for the average Ontarian because we're still going to end up getting screwed.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, if there's enough of an outcry and opposition to this from the provinces, and it'll be interesting to see now that there's a new...
What is the answer? Because it's important that we do keep... This is, I'm not an environmentalist, but we need to find balance. Life is about balance in every way. Actually, your handler, David Joyce, is so thin, he could be a teeter-totter, right? If we put him on a fulcrum, he could be a teeter-totter. But life really is about balance, right? And finding a way to make sure where is environmentally caring and caring about the people and because so many countries aren't, we have to kind of step up a little bit, but also make sure things are affordable and, as you mentioned, business moves and all that kind of stuff. How are we going to do this when we're fighting the biggest province in Canada as far as economy is fighting with the feds on this?
And our Minister of Environment, Rod Phillips, has said this over and over again. A regressive job-killing carbon tax is not the answer because it does make us so uncompetitive, and really it's not changing behavior. There is a plan that he's working on right now, and I understand that he's near completion on that plan that he's going to roll out on how Ontario can kind of turn the corner on scrapping the cap and trade carbon tax and then moving to another way of limiting greenhouse gas emissions and tackling the climate change issue. And I'll let him be the spokesman on that because he's been working very hard
But bring him on.
I'm sure he'd be happy to come in.
Yeah. I'd love to talk about it. I think some of the reason ways to make life better for everybody is to kind of be... have common sense. Go back to the old ways. Use our farmers markets. Get fruit and vegetables that come from here. I mean, I think all of us have probably been to an orchard over the past few weeks. Those are the best apples in the world, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Way better than you'll get at a grocery store at any time unless the local ones get to the grocery store. Those are the answers. Buy carrots and root vegetables and all that kind of stuff from local, and then you're not spooting the stuff out, and hopefully you can get things reasonably or grow your own if you can.
Yeah, buy locally owned is a great thing. And we had the group that formed here, a couple decades ago? Buy locally owned group, Tom Lafferty and Frank Hendry.
We almost were ahead of our time, weren't we?
Jimmy Parkinson and all those guys, they had a really, really strong advertising campaign. And I believe maybe they still do. I'm not sure. But encouraging people to buy locally owned because everybody wins in the community, right?
Okay.
And we have so many great small businesses in this community that we should be supporting. And, of course, among those small businesses are our local agriculture workers and our farmers.
And Quinty Broadcast.
And Quinty Broadcasting.
Listen, Smitty, I know I'm going to get one more question in before you got to go because I know you have an event today. You're going to be talking about something really important.
Mm-hmm.
Again, something to help people get into the workforce easier.
Yes.
I'm not going to divulge it because I really don't know what it is, but I think it's great because that whole thing, which we'll find out after 10 o'clock.
Okay.
This
All right. Yes. You're being very evasive here.
Evasive. Well, good. That's right. We'll get people listened in. Yo Man.
Yeah.
On the 17th of October.
17th of October.
Yeah.
Okay.
I ordered a marijuana cigarette.
Yeah.
For Devin.
Yeah.
On the company credit card.
Right.
It came here like 17 days later.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it did arrive.
It was 2 weeks.
Was it 2 weeks?
2 weeks.
Sorry. I can't believe I'm listening to Devin on accuracy. Indeed.
Yeah.
No, but so let's talk about this. This is the biggest story. It's cannabis.
Yep.
The cannabis.
Big story.
It's a big story.
Mm-hmm.
Big story. How are we going to, is the government happy with how this thing launched out? The ombudsman I was reading yesterday has had over 1,000 complaints. We know just to the east of us, there are many, many ways to purchase cannabis. That's not, of course, the same for the rest of the province. In Toronto, cannabis stores were raided. How, give yourself a grade on how this is rolled out. Is 2 weeks too long to get a joint? Clearly it is, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I mean, there was a postal
strike. Don't say
strike.
Canada Post.
There was a postal strike in there as well.
So why aren't we using different couriers then?
I think that they were a bit overwhelmed with the initial activity on the website as well. I mean, what was it, 100,000?
Yeah, 100,000, but is that a shocker when the day that free cannabis, or not free, but it's legal? Is that a shocker?
Yeah, I think, you know, we wanted to comply. Our government wanted to comply with what the feds were asking, and that was to have a retail outlet available for consumption on October 17th. So we did have the online retail store, the Ontario Cannabis Store, ready to go. But we decided, our government decided to take a different approach, and that was to bring in the private retail stores, and those are going to be coming out April 1st. So, you know, we wanted to be able to comply with, you know, what the feds had promised. And so the Ontario Cannabis Store online does that. It may not be as efficient yet as it possibly could. I know they're working at improving the timeliness of the whole system. But we had yesterday, I think we had massive rotating strikes with Canada Post in Ontario.
So here's a question. Just two questions. Question number one, in April, and I think, by the way, having private businesses run these stores is a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
Much better than, because the government doesn't run anything well, right? So having the government do this is a great idea.
Having private sector.
Yeah. Hopefully they'll be able to get the legal government cannabis to their stores.
Yes.
Right? I hope you guys are working on that.
Yeah, they're working on that. Certainly, you know, Minister Fedeli at Finance and Caroline Mulroney has developed, you know, has been developing the laws as the Attorney General and making sure that those rules and regulations are in place, and we've identified suppliers for the Ontario market, and that's all happening right now. So that
when they're going to need a fairly, each of these stores will need to have stock, or else the whole thing is,
that's 5 months away. So there's still time for that. I mean, you know, we were facing that October 17th deadline, if you want to call it that, pretty quickly. I mean, we were, as you know, sworn in late June, and then had to move on this quickly to get regs in place and stuff. So
okay, and finally, The situation in the East with the territory and the stores there.
Yep.
Is the provincial government working with the federal government all to decide what the answer to that is? Because, I mean, quite frankly, they're illegal, aren't they?
Yep. There's a lot of conversation going on around not just those dispensaries, but dispensaries all across Ontario that are operating illegally right now. And you know, the minister and the premier have made it very clear that if you're operating illegally right now, you will not be a part of the legal market, the retail market that opens up on April 1st. So the right thing to do is to shut down if you want to apply to be a part of the legal retail chain. Clearly, that's being ignored, and that will have to be dealt with come April 1st, if not beforehand.
Okay. Okay, yep. Todd.
How was that? Was that evasive enough for you?
It was.
Yeah. Okay.
I appreciate it, though.
Yeah.
Todd Smith, congratulations on the new job. It really is. I think everybody who knows you, and we all know you here at the radio station, are very proud. It's a big job. Minister of Economic Development, Job Creation, and Trade. And it's really important for all of us. So do a great job. And, of course, we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks. I'm excited.
And we'll have Todd's big announcement, which he's making after 10, of course, on our news a little later today.
All right.
We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about second units. What exactly are they? As Director of Engineering Development Services, Rod Beauvais joins us.